This is the 16th day of August, 2026. We are already past the middle point of the month of August. Man, it's hard to believe. Time goes by so quickly. But today, we are looking at the second part of Lesson 2, entitled, The Gospel is for Everyone. This is going to be from Acts chapter number 9. We're going to be looking at this today. Again, we're going to finish this lesson out. And last week, we sang that song, Everybody Ought to Know. You remember that? We sang that song. And you know what? Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody needs to know who Jesus is. Now, last week, we looked at several things here. We looked at how that Saul came to know Christ as his Savior. We saw that experience on the road to Damascus. And how that this man, no one would have ever thought that he would be one that God would ever use. This was a man that had papers. He had the authority to go and take folks that followed the way of Christ and put them into prison, to chain them, to put them to death, cause them to blaspheme. We looked at several situations where he gave testimony of how he made them to blaspheme as he put them to death. And folks, you look at that and you think, man, that guy could never get saved. But we serve a God that's able to save anybody in any situation. Amen? And I am thankful for that. And I'm thankful that God chose to love me. I'm glad he chose to love you. Amen? Some of you are rascals too now. All right? You were rascals, and God saved you. And you know what? If God can save you, he can save anybody. And we looked at that last week. We looked at how he had some bitter hatred in his heart for those Christians. But after he got saved, he's sitting there for 3 days wondering what the Lord is going to have him to do. He's sitting there 3 days blinded by that great light of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's wondering, what's God going to do with me? What is God going to do to me? And the Bible said there in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, I want you to look at this. Saul's response to the Lord was, the Bible said, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Bible said, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now I want you to put yourself in Saul of Tarsus' place. You've just met the one that you told everybody was dead. You've just met and been blinded by the glory of the resurrected Son of God. And now you're blinded. You're confused. You don't know what to do. And when you ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? He says, I want you to go into the city, and there I'll tell you what you got to do. Can you imagine the thoughts that may have been going through his mind? What is God going to do to me? Is he going to judge me? What's he going to do to me? What am I going to do for the rest of my life? Am I going to be blind all the rest of my life? So in verse number 7, the Bible said there, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. They couldn't believe what they were seeing and hearing. Now, the Bible doesn't say they understood what Jesus said to Saul. They heard a voice, but they saw no man. And the Bible said here that, man, they were just amazed. They were astonished. And so these men that were traveling with Saul must have just been dumbfounded by what they saw and what they heard on that day. But you know, in verses 8 and 9, the Bible said, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he opened his eyes, he saw no man. Now what does that mean? He was blind. There was a light that shone upon him greater than the sun. It knocked him down off his high horse. He had no place else to look but up to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saw no man. He was blind. The Bible said, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there without, he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Wow. I believe Saul of Tarsus was scared. I believe he was terrified to learn that what he had been doing all this time had been against the very one he said that he thought was dead and was just a farce. It was something unbelievable to think about. So this man, now you think about this, he once held the coats of those men that stoned Stephen. He was consenting unto Stephen's death. As those men took stones, now I'm not talking about little gravel stones like you get in your driveway. I'm talking about stones. They drug him outside the city and they stoned Stephen. And he witnessed all of that. He was in agreement with all of that because he didn't believe in what they were doing with Jesus. Would God kill him now for his wicked deeds? I think that was going through his mind. Hey, would he be blind all the rest of his life? He saw a great light. He saw the Lord Jesus, the glory of that. I can't imagine. What would the future hold for him now? And how would things ever be the same as before for this man called Saul of Tarsus? Well, that's where we come down to today. And I want us to look here at Acts chapter number 9. We're going to begin in verse number 10, where we look now at Saul's first contact with the believers. Saul's first contact with the believers. Now, while Saul was sitting there on pins and needles for 3 days, not eating, not drinking, not able to see anything, he's there in a room in Damascus, God is preparing another faithful servant to go and strengthen God's choice for becoming the next preacher of the gospel, this man, Saul of Tarsus. And the Bible talks about here in verses 10 through 12, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, Ananias now had been summoned by God, by the Lord Jesus, for a special job. Can you imagine being Ananias? Ananias was a faithful servant of God. So far, he had not been thrown into prison, but he had made himself available to God. And the very moment that the Lord spoke his name, he said, behold, Lord, here I am. I'm here. Lord, I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. That's the kind of attitude that I want to have. Amen. That's the kind of attitude that each of us need to have. When the Lord wants us, when he wants to use us, we need to be ready for it. We need to be ready. And Ananias here made himself available. And the Bible said he's given instructions as to what the Lord wanted him to do here in verses 11 and 12. But then in verse 13 and 14, Ananias kind of shakes his head, clears his ears. And he said, the Bible said, Lord, I have heard of by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Now, can you hear Ananias? I mean, he's standing there, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. And the Lord says, this is what I want you to do. And Ananias looks at the Lord and he says, say what? Lord, have you read the Jerusalem Times? Have you read the Jerusalem Post about this guy? This is not a good guy. He's a bad guy. He hates you. He hates us. And Lord, I don't know if you've heard about it, but he's got paperwork that can put us to death. And it's almost like the Lord says, yeah, Ananias, I know all about that. Look what the Bible said. Verse 15 and 16. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know what the old story is? What goes around comes around. Saul of Tarsus, who would later become Paul the Apostle, is about to find out what it's like to be a true child of God. God had a plan. And you know what? Ananias was chosen of God to deliver the message. As a matter of fact, Saul of Tarsus had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming to him. So there wasn't any way that Ananias could get out of this thing, okay? He couldn't say, well, why don't you let George over here go or let Dave go or somebody else go. He said, no, Ananias, I've already told him, you're coming, you're going to see him, and you're going to give him words that he needs to hear. And you know what? I thank God for second chances. Think how many times you heard the gospel. Think about just a moment how many times you rejected the gospel. I think about that many times. All the times I was in vacation Bible school as a boy. All those times I was in Sunday school and in junior church. And I heard the message of the gospel. I wanted to get saved, but I was afraid. I was afraid what people would say, what my parents would say. Man, I was scared. But you know what? There came a day when the Lord made reality of eternity real in my heart and my life. And I knew I had to make a decision. And now Saul of Tarsus has made a decision. He's made a decision to trust the one who blinded him physically. And now he's waiting. He's waiting. He's seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming to him to give him words of strength and encouragement. Boy, that's what we all need, is it not? That's what we all need. Here, the Bible said in verse 17, verse 18, that Ananias, though he may not have understood everything that God had in store for this Saul of Tarsus at this particular time, Ananias, as a faithful servant of God, simply trusted the Lord. And he did what God said do. How many times have we failed to do that? And you know what? We may have missed a blessing. But Ananias was faithful. And here in verse 17 and 18, the Bible said, Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now, Joyce Mahoney was just telling me this morning, she's had both eyes cataract surgery done. They put new lenses in her eyes. She came in this morning, she said, I don't have to wear glasses, I can see. I thought, well, bless your heart, you can see how good looking I really am now, can't you? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Great, wonderful. She didn't have to wear glasses now, anything. She was just praising the Lord. Can you imagine Saul's heart? When Ananias came in and he said, God said you're going to receive your sight. And the scales fell off his eyes. And his eyes were open and he could see. And he knew that God had a plan for his life. You know what? Sometimes God has to remove the scales, doesn't he? so that we can see to trust Him, to obey Him, to serve Him from our hearts. And that's what happened here in Saul's life. He arose and he followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And he didn't get baptized to be saved. He got baptized because he was saved. He had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice here too that when Ananias trusted God and obeyed God, that several of the other disciples did too. And I want you to look here in verse 19. The Bible said, "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples that were at Damascus." Now notice this. This is the great thing about salvation. You know, the Muslims, they want to kill all the infidels. They want to put everybody to death that doesn't believe like they do. Okay? They want to kill you, overpower you, overtake you. They're not your friend. Okay? Their false god, Allah, is not your friend. That religion is not real. I mean, it's a real religion, but it's a false religion. But I want you to notice here that when Saul had trusted Christ, there were others there too, other disciples in Damascus that came and they fellowshipped and they encouraged and they strengthened Saul of Tarsus, the known murderer, the known accuser of the brethren, the one that Satan had used to put so many to death and in prison and torture and compel them to blaspheme the very name of the Lord and Savior that had saved them. The man that did all those things, they now had fellowship with him. Why? Because he was a new man in Christ. Amen? All things had been passed away. Behold, all things were become new. And these folks had fellowship with him. You know what? The fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ is something that we could never trade in this life. That's why I love to come to church. I love to have fellowship. Man, I just love to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we can strengthen one another. We can encourage one another. We're friends. We're family. We're part of the family of God. And now this very one that had been treating the church and persecuting the church so fiercely and made havoc of the church, now he has trusted Christ as his Savior. And the Bible said, "Then Saul was certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus." I'm sure they were going to check him out. I'm sure they were going to make sure that they knew that he was truly born again. And look what the Bible said in verse 20. "And straightway he," Saul of Tarsus now, "he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." Not was, not hoped to be one day, but he is the Son of God. Can you imagine Saul giving his testimony? And how that the tears must have flowed from his eyes when he stood and he told those people, "Yeah, that was me that treated you all so badly, that persecuted you. I had papers to put you in prison and to put somebody to death and to stop everybody that followed this way of living. But now, that God that you were preaching about, I've met him. I know he's real. He's alive today. He is the Christ, the Son of God." And can you imagine how God used that testimony to see people get saved? Man, what a difference salvation makes in a person's life. And you know what? As Paul preached and he proclaimed Jesus to be the very Son of God, the Word of God began to mean something more, not only to him, but to all those folks around him who knew now that Saul truly was saved. Look at verse 22. The Bible said, but Saul increased the more in strength, and he confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Man, what a difference one day makes when you meet Jesus. Amen. You know what? That's why we have the Sure Foundation class. Brother Overbeck is up there teaching folks right now about this very Christ. He's strengthening them. Those folks that have trusted Christ as their Savior, they're wanting to grow in the Lord Jesus. Now he's strengthening them through the Word of God. And this is what was happening here with Saul. He grew more, and he increased in strength, and he confounded those Jews that he had been a part of. And I believe that God brought those scriptures to life in his heart once he met the Savior. You see, Jesus makes all the difference. And the Word of God makes all the difference. I remember before, and I've told you this, I was in a group of folks. It was called the Tar Heel UFO Study Group. Yeah, we went out and saw all kinds of things at night. And, man, all kinds of things. And there were unidentified flying objects up there. But you know what that group also taught? That the Bible, I remember my first Bible I had, taught me how that, man, those were ancient aliens that came. All those aliens and things like that were all mentioned in the Bible. I was so deceived. But when I got saved, and the Spirit of God dwelt within my heart and my soul, my life, and I got to hear the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, I came to understand the truth of the Scriptures. God's not an alien. He wasn't some foreign visitor millions of years ago that gave wisdom to the ancients to create pyramids and all this other stuff. No. He's the Creator of the universe. He's my Savior. Oh, how I love Him. And how I want to proclaim His name. And that's what Saul began to do. And you know what? He started right there in Damascus in the synagogues, teaching those folks that he was friends with the truth of the Scriptures, that Jesus is the very Christ, the very Son of God. Now, why did he do that? Because he knew that if God could save him, that God could save them as well. I remember when I got saved, and I began to tell folks at school. And some of the kids I went to school with, they laughed and they made fun, they mocked, and I lost quite a few friends. I stopped playing in the jazz band, the concert band, the marching band, because I couldn't do those dance things and that stuff that they wanted me to do anymore. In the last 2 years in school, I got saved in the 10th grade, the latter part of the 10th grade. And 11th and 12th grade, I didn't take band, I didn't take marching band, I didn't do any of that stuff. And they made fun of me about that. But you know what? It seemed like for every one friend I lost, God gave me two more to take their place. And some of the other kids at school said, hey, I heard you got saved. They said, yeah. They said, well, you know, we have a Bible study before school one of the science classes. You want to come over? Yeah. And, man, we had a school Bible study there. And, man, I met more Christians than you could ever imagine. And I had one guy on the bus that didn't believe that I was really saved. And he wanted to fight me on the bus. And I thought, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm not going to do this. And he beat me up something awful. And I was determined I wasn't going to cry. And man, my chest hurt so bad where he had hit me and all this other stuff. And I didn't cry. I got off that bus. I kept my head high until I got home. And then I cried like a baby. But you know what? Later on, he got saved. And we didn't have the money to have a car that I could drive to school. And I rode the bus with all the little kids 11th and 12th grade, all the way up to the year I graduated. I rode the bus to school. All the other guys, they drove their cars, and they had these muscle cars and all this other stuff. And they had all this stuff. I remember in human anatomy and physiology class, we cut up cats. We cut up cats, okay? And one of them, we did a bisection, and they skinned it. They skinned the cat, and he took that cat's head part, and he attached it to his car antenna and drove that thing back and forth to school. Okay? That's the kind of guys we hung out with, all right? Never will forget that. And I thought, man, that's so cool. That's so cool. But you know what? Through the years of riding that bus, I got to sit beside several kids. And as God was dealing my heart about preaching, I gave God the impossible fleece, I thought. I said, God, if you really want me to preach by the end of the year, you've got to have allowed me to lead 200 people to Christ. And I knew it wouldn't happen. I just knew it. So I could get out of this thing, go ahead and join the Air Force and do what I wanted to do. By the second week in December, I'd already led my 200th person to Christ. And many of those folks I led to Christ were on that school bus. And at school that we led to Christ. And folks, Saul went to the people that he loved. He cared for them. He knew they were teaching false doctrine, and he wanted them to know the truth. And he went to them and he preached. And look at this. In verses 23 through 25, the Bible said, and after that, many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Now, you know what? That's bad. Now, as far as I know, nobody ever took counsel to kill me in school, okay? But you know what? They took counsel to kill him because he was proving them wrong. And instead of getting right with God, they chose to reject God and rebel, and they said, well, we'll just kill him too. So look what happened. But their laying await was made known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then who? The disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Many of Saul's companions and religious friends probably came to hear the truth of the gospel being preached by this new convert of Jesus Christ. And they now had a new understanding of the gospel. But it sounds like the majority of them went on to reject the gospel, and they chose to reject it. And they chose to say, you know what, we're going to lay wait for him. We're going to kill him. We're going to get rid of him. So they watched the gates day and night. The character of this man and the proof of his salvation experience. You think about this. It had been demonstrated among those enemies of God. And you know what? The character that God gives to you and me as proof of our salvation, okay? Proof that we really know Christ is often demonstrated around folks that don't want to hear the message of the gospel, is it not? You know what happens? Many times, folks say, well, I don't want to offend them, so I just won't mention the gospel anymore. We had some places we went to go visit the other night. They didn't want to hear anything. They took the information, but didn't want to hear it. You know what? It had been easy to go and say, well, let's just forget it. We're not going to go anywhere else. We didn't do that. We went and told other people about Christ. Got to present the gospel right up to the point where they get saved and they call on the Lord. And they just turned it away. And the young man that was with me, he drove an hour and a half from the other side of Baltimore to get here to go out soul winning with us. He said, man, I can't believe that. And I said, yeah, it oftentimes happens. The devil keeps people blinded. And that's what happened with Saul. But it did not stop Saul from preaching the gospel. And folks, we can't let the world stop us. We can't let the world stop us from doing what we know is right for the cause of Christ. Saul now escapes to Jerusalem. And we see his reception here at Jerusalem. Now, I want you to go back in chapter 9 just a minute, to verses 15 and 16. And I want you to remember what God, the Lord Jesus, told Ananias. The Lord said unto him, unto Ananias, go thy way, for he, Saul of Tarsus, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. And this is what I want you to see. Jesus said unto Ananias, he said, for I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, surely this must have been just another one of those many situations the Lord spoke unto Ananias about. But he made it specific that Saul was going to have to suffer. And child of God, let me say this to you. If you live for God, you're going to suffer persecution in this world. You're going to suffer persecution. It's going to happen. No matter what you do, it's going to happen. So you might as well just go on and trust God and serve the Lord and do what God said do. And by the Apostle Paul's own testimony to the church of Galatia, he went on for some 3 years there after he was saved. And I want you to look at this in Galatians chapter 1. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1 just a minute. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 11. Paul writes here, he said, to the church of Galatia, he said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel that was preached of me is not after man. It's not just a religious tradition. It's not some religious fad. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Man, that's his testimony. Now go back to Acts chapter 6, or Acts chapter 9, where we were at, and look at verse 26. And there we read, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed, or he tried to join himself to the disciples. But look at this. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. You see, he had tricked them before. He had deceived them before. And now they were afraid of him. But thank God for those encouragers in the faith, amen, who did all within their power as spiritual leaders and godly examples to those newborn babes in Christ. They all went there to try to encourage him. And in verses 27 and 28, the Bible said, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how that he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Others now saw. They now saw. And they heard Saul's testimony. They heard how that God took someone who was so vile and wretched and wicked a sinner as Saul of Tarsus really was. And the hand of God reached down and pulled him out of the muck and mire of this old religious tradition. And he saved his soul. Amen. And folks, that's what Jesus did for you. That's what Jesus did for me. And he did it for the Apostle Paul. And you know what? This now caused other believers to give glory unto God. Not to man. Not for being a Jewish zealot. Okay? Not in the tradition of the fathers. But it gave hope to them that even some of the most hardest of all cases could be saved. If God could do this for Saul of Tarsus, what could he do for someone else? Amen? And folks, listen to me. Even though this brought glory to God, it made the devil mad. And folks, whenever you or I try to bring glory unto God, the devil's going to get upset. The devil's crowd is going to get upset. And the devil is going to do everything he can do to rear up his old ugly head and cause you to be discouraged and disheartened and get your eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ that has saved you. But folks, that's why we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him which endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Amen. Listen, these guys rose up their old heads. And in verses 29 and 30, we read this. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. He spoke boldly to them. He tried to tell everybody what the truth truly was. And they hated him because they hated the truth. Sounds like our world today, folks. They don't like truth. But look at this. Notice in verse 31. That persecution generated unity among the brethren. It generated a unity for the furtherance of the gospel. Persecution generated a unity among the true born-again believers. And look what verse 31 said. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. They said, Saul, brother, we love you, but it's not safe for you to be here. You need to go somewhere else where it's safe and preach the gospel. And you know what God did? He was fulfilling his appointment to the disciples. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. What did he say? Ye shall be witnesses unto me where? In Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and ultimately where? To the uttermost part of the earth. And he was doing that right here with Saul of Tarsus. But as God allowed the oppositions and the persecutions to continue in the life of this man, Saul of Tarsus, who would later become known as the Apostle Paul, God not only strengthened his messenger, but he strengthened his ministry, as we read here in verse 31. Look at it. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and they were edified. And look at this. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied. You see, those two things go hand in hand. Walking in fear, but walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. They go hand in hand. Hey, listen. I don't know what persecution you may be going through right now. I don't know what heartache and troubles and all that you're going through. But folks, I'm telling you, these folks, God gave them a little period of rest from their persecution. Why? Because they remained faithful to keep their eyes on Jesus. They did what was right to do. And you know why they did that? Because they came to realize that the gospel is for everybody. It's for everybody. Even a man called Saul of Tarsus that persecuted folks. He oppressed them. He made fun of them. He imprisoned them. He put them to death. And yet they saw the power of the message of the gospel in a person's life. And folks, that's the same message that changed your life. And it changed my life. And it gave us something worth living for today. Amen. That's why we call ourselves brothers and sisters in Christ. We're of the family of God. We have unity. And now, even in the persecutions and in the fear, we can walk in the comfort and peace of the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because we're proclaiming the message of the gospel. Now listen to me today. I hope you can see through the lesson today that God doesn't send opposition and persecution to make us stop doing what we're supposed to be doing for Him. He doesn't send the opposition. He doesn't send the persecution. He doesn't send the heartaches and the trials to stop us. He sends those so that we can come to realize that His strength and His power and His grace is sufficient to see us through. And that's what we got to do. We got to keep our eyes on Him. He allows opposition and persecution to come into our lives to strengthen us. Listen, if folks had never asked me questions that I didn't know how to answer, I would have not had a reason to go back and study the Word of God and then be able to go back to them and say, "Thus saith the Lord." But you know what? Opposition, persecution brought a desire in my heart to gain closer relationship to the Lord through His Word and through the power of His indwelling Holy Spirit. And folks, God will do the same for you today if you'll allow Him to do it. Amen. Why? Because the gospel is for everybody. Your neighbors, your co-workers, your family. A year ago, a little over a year ago now, our daughter and son-in-law joined the church down in Walkertown, North Carolina. I met with a pastor and talked to him. He came by. Our pastor went down, had dinner with them last year, encouraged them to get in the church, get their family in the church. They've been in church now for a year. Our little granddaughter, she's going into second grade this year. Hard to believe she's going in second grade. It just seemed like yesterday she was born. The teachers were giving her a hard time at school. Second grade. Teacher told our little granddaughter about all the kids from her first grade class that they had failed because they couldn't do this. And they sent them back to first grade. And she was afraid she's going to get moved back. A little second grader. You know what my son-in-law and my daughter did? My daughter called the house. She talked to Lisa. We prayed about it. They said, "We're going to look at putting her in a Christian school." And they did. They took her out of that school and they enrolled her in the Christian school. You know what? God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Folks, I'm telling you, God allows opposition and persecution to come our way to draw us closer to Him through this book. Trust him today. Tell folks about what Christ has done for you, just like what Saul did. All he could do was tell them what Christ did for him, and they hated him for it. And the world's going to hate you today, too. But he didn't stop. He just kept going on and on and on. And today, you and I have the gospel, and we know what God's plan is for us. Why is that? Because the gospel is for everyone. Amen. Consider signing up today for the Soul Winners training class. Consider joining that so that you can learn to take the message of the gospel to anybody, anywhere, at any time. I would encourage you to do that today. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you today. And God, how I thank you so much for answering prayer. God, for doing a work that we couldn't do in ourselves. But Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, help us, God, to realize today that the gospel truly is for everyone. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see the need today to take that message everywhere we go. Please, dear Lord, today, bless our pastor, Lord, as he stands to preach. I pray, dear God, that you'll bless these two little girls. I'm getting ready to baptize in just a few moments. I pray, God, that they've gotten saved now. They want to live for you. Their parents are going to be here at church today to see them get baptized. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll use the message to speak to their hearts. And Lord, if they're not saved, that they could be saved as well. Because God, you are the God of salvation. Please, Lord, bless your word. Help it, Lord, not to return void. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class.